Hi, in case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Ragini Michaels, a trainer of behavioral change on a marketplace mystic, who works with spiritual speakers on the seekers on the road of self-discovery and inner happiness. So before the break, we were talking about sympathetic consciousness. And Ragini, can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Well, basically, sympathetic consciousness refers to a state of being or a state of mind where you're tuned into the fact that you have your distress with living and everyone else does too. And because you understand that being human and living life has distress in it, it's stressful. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to navigate life. When you're born, nobody gives you a little book that says, here's how to live life so you can be happy and without stress. So we're all struggling with that same confusion about what it's all about and what to do. And sympathetic consciousness really is what allows compassion to arise. It allows you to make the choice to feel compassionate or compassion for someone rather than judging them and blaming them for being a very uncontrolled person and thus, you know, rude and aggressive with their anger. So it allows a change in your behavior, and thus it means you can respond differently to the person who is having anger, either the other person and yourself.
Yeah. And here's the thing about, well, here's how I summarize what you said. I heard as life sucks for me. Life sucks, and everyone else's life sucks.
I have to say that from a psychological perspective, that's generally going to be accurate for most people across the board if they were truly honest. However, adding in the spiritual perspective would be the opposite side.
Yeah.
Life is wonderful. I'm grateful for all that I have. But both are very real for human beings. And
right.
For a lot of people who don't have an active spiritual life interwoven with their daily life, they're pretty much dominated by life sucks, which I can totally relate to because I still have days where life just sucks.
Yeah. Oh gosh, what has this show amounted to? All right, so let's actually put ourselves in, and here's the thing that I find as an angry person, the thing that's so hard for me is that I really feel like angry people are demonified in this society. I mean, you're judged, you're a bad person if you're angry, and you know, get it together. It's the opposite of this sympathetic consciousness. It just goes, you suck. Not life sucks, it all sucks for everyone, you suck. So from a place of sympathetic consciousness, of a place from love and healing, because part of that's what we want to do with the show is to heal and help people, what would you say to those people who are angry people that are having a hard time?
With their anger or with other people's response to them?
Both.
Both,
yeah.
Both. Well, I think part of the reason that we have trouble responding to anger in a positive way is because we're frightened of it. Mm. That basically it is, as you mentioned earlier, it's a tremendously strong physiological response. You really have to have a lot of presence to allow anger to just arise and pass away without taking any action.
Mm.
I mean, I've had moments when I'm just gripping the edges of my chair and gripping my lips tightly together so I do not act upon the wave of anger or the volcanic eruption, as you would describe it, going through my system at any given moment in time. You have to have some presence and some awareness. When you have that, when you understand the experience of your own anger, which I want to talk a little bit about how we avoid claiming that we have anger
right. In
just a minute. But when you have a felt experience of making anger your friend, you understand it's a signal that something is happening that you need to attend to and take action on. It's rarely external. It's more often internal. Now, of course, there are going to be situations external where you will want to take action. Say you're watching some mean person bully a kid. You might really want to take action then externally. But what we're talking about here today is more about your own internal. So if you have made peace with your own internal anger, you're going to find it easier to relate to someone who is bursting over with anger. You'll be less apt to judge them and more apt to understand their dilemma.
Yeah, and here's what I would say as a person who is usually the aggressor in these scenarios. When this happens to you and it feels like a volcano, it's really scary. It's I literally am shaking when it happens, and you feel so bad, and you really have no control of your rage. It's not, you want to control it, and you can see it almost like from a third party perspective, seeing it all happen, and yet you still can't control it, because once it hits a certain level, when you've busted out, you can't stop it. And, it hurts. I mean, you feel a lot of guilt and a lot of shame and, a lot of judgment from other people when that happens. And I mean, what would you say to someone like me or to me? Because I'm suffering with this. You know, what would you say to someone who does feel guilt and shame about their anger so they can make peace with it, to be friends with it?
Well, the first thing is to understand the root of your anger. That's the first thing, you know, and in your case, with your kind of personality, it's different than my personality. You get angry because you think there's a right way for things to happen. Is that correct?
There is a right way for things to happen, Rogini. What are you talking about?
Okay. So for CJ, there's a right way for things to happen. And when things don't go the way she believes they should, anger arises. Now, in my case, I have a different personality. So in my case, anger arises for me when people don't notice me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Indifference raises enormous emotional response within me, and then I can get very angry about it.
Yeah.
Right? So first thing you have to do is understand why you're angry. Right. The second thing is to understand anger is an emotion, and thus it's a signal. It's trying to give you some information about something going on in your personal reality. And that's the freedom of getting started on being able to become free to ride the waves of your anger or the eruption of your anger without getting completely caught in it and throwing it on everybody else within a mile or two.
Yeah, I find interesting that you're saying that it is dependent on the personality. And in fact, it's not only your internal story that you tell, you know, whether it's, oh gosh, you know, there's a right and a wrong, or, you know, you haven't noticed me or whatever, because every single personality is going to have a different story associated with it. Mm-hmm. But then what I also noticed and what I found interesting from reading about anger is where I think the media focuses on the kind of explosive, like road rage, you know, people coming in and shooting people at work or, you know, whatever. But what they don't focus on are all the different ways that anger is expressed, based on, I assume, different personalities. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about what you've experienced with some of your clients.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to express your anger.
Whoops. Obviously, the aggressive ones are the ones we know best. Bullying, reckless driving, for example, mm-hmm. road rage, verbal abuse, using foul language. Those are ways we do it. There's something very relieving of anger by using foul language.
Yes.
Sorry to say that, but experientially, it's quite accurate. It's a relief. It mm-hmm. releases some of it. It's like the hot volcano ash coming out. When you jump line in a jump queue, that's an expression of anger. You know, you're saying, I don't want to wait here. This is not okay with me. My expectation is I should be up further in the line, or I should not have to wait. Now, if you have a personality like mine where you're born with an entitlement syndrome, where you believe that you should always be allowed to go to the top of the line because you're who you are, it becomes difficult. Tailgating is another one, blowing your horn, which we don't do much in Seattle, which is where I am right now. Finger pointing, when you shake your fist at somebody, when you actually blame someone, or you engage in some kind of punishment. But there's also the more passive expressions of anger, which most of us don't see as anger, which is when you give someone the cold shoulder, for example, when you won't talk to them, when you won't make a decision and you sit on the fence and you make other people wait because you won't make a decision, when you're evasive and you won't give a clear response. These are mild expressions of what will eventually become full-blown anger if you're not careful. Underachieving is another, oftentimes, a way of expressing anger. These are the more passive ways of doing it. Emotional blackmail, something women are accused of a lot, which is falsely crying, you know, creating tears in a false way in order to manipulate someone. The silent treatment. Even gossiping and conning someone are ways of expressing your anger, because what we're doing here is we want somebody else to hurt, to get the payback for what it is that we're feeling, the hurt. And many of us don't realize the root of most anger is hurt. And unattended, the hurt will eventually result in an explosion of some kind, whether it's obviously aggressive or deeply passive.
Yeah.
Self-blame is another way where we just out and out criticizing ourselves, and also self-sacrifice, this long-suffering thing that you do or making do with second best. These are actually ways that people express their anger passively and aggressively. Lots of different ways we do it. So my suggestion is that you look at your behavior and see which kinds of these things you're doing, because every human being has expectations, and thus every human being will experience anger, because your expectations can never all be fulfilled. In fact, it's rare many of them are filled at all.
Oh, on that happy note. Well, so it goes to, I'm angry, you're angry, we're all angry, and get at it the root. And I think that it is really true that the ones where it's about retribution and revenge, people don't see that as anger, but it's anger in a different form. Requires the same kind of attention and detail and focus that it does, because those kind of angers are not necessarily expressed overtly. And so I think that is the kind of anger that causes hypertension. You know, you kind of stuff it down. Like you were saying, you put seeds in your husband's orange juice.
When you know he doesn't like them.
You go, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I mistakenly dropped those seeds.
Yes.
In there.
Yes, you passive aggressive people out there. That's all so anger. So I think that the key thing to reiterate, and to help, is that we all suffer from anger. So to point the finger of blame and judgment is not helpful. If you are going to point it to yourself as well, because we all need help. We all need to be healed in some way, shape, or form, because the ultimate reason why we are feeling this suffering on the inside is because there's something traumatic or difficult, or maybe something inherent in our personality that happens that makes us create these stories. And so I think the next segment is really just going to be talking about the healing aspect. Like, how does one take these moments and bursts of anger and view them as a signal, as you mentioned, and how do we make it our friend versus a foe, in my particular case, soon to be converted as a friend. So Ragini Michaels, a trainer of behavioral change and a marketplace mystic. I'm fired up with CJ. If you want to listen to this show again or other shows like it, check out www.firedupwithcj.com.